thankful for America. I tell you, there's people out there that are saying that America's never been great. I don't know what they're talking about. America is exceptional. I mean, obviously it has its problems, but you see what they've done in the last couple hundred years and the liberties and freedoms that we've been able to enjoy. And we are truly an exceptional country, have an exceptional heritage and history. And once again, there is problems and issues, but they've tried things like communism and socialism and Marxism over the last 100, 200 years and over the different continents, and they failed every single time. And I'm thankful for what America stands for and the privileges we have here. And people are trying to change things, trying to say America has never been great. And I think they need to read their history books and see exactly what made America great. And I'm thankful for the history of America and the Christian values that helped form and shape our nation. And I think it's something we should praise the Lord for and rejoice about. Psalms chapter 91, and what made me think of that song about being a flag wave in America. So it kind of reminded me there are people out there who don't think that America is good. And you know what? They're free to leave if they want to. I mean, they can go somewhere else where they want to. And I'm not saying it. I don't care what color they are or how much money they have or don't have. If they don't like America, no one's making them stay. So, okay, Psalm chapter number 91. I really love this chapter in the Bible. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. Sort of like this morning, there's a lot of imagery. There's a lot of different poetic type things here. And when you come to Psalm chapter 91, there are so many promises of protection in here that you would not want to have a ministry or a family or even your own life without these type of protections. It's amazing what's found in this passage of scripture. But there's an application here. There's the beginning where the Bible says here, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Now, I like to think a little bit today about what that word secret place means and maybe help us understand. I was sitting there trying to figure out an outline for the message, and really there's just talks about the protection of God, talks about the person that is protected and how God protects. But so we're just going to kind of walk through the passage of scripture to begin with, going to read all 16 verses, give a little commentary, and then we're going to focus mostly on the first four or five verses, looking at the exceptional praiseworthiness of God is for his protection for us. Now, some people, most people would allude that this passage of scripture is referring to Jesus Christ, and I'll show you that throughout here, but I think it's definitely applicable to us as believers. I think these are promises that are made to us, and when we're dwelling in that secret place, that close communion place with God, we are going to have ultimate protection. Now, does that mean that we're never going to be harmed? No, I think we saw that in the Bible. There were places that people that got harmed, but it didn't bother them. No matter what came in front of them, and no matter what they had to face, God ultimately protected them, and they just saw the things that were happening, but it never affected them. And I think of all the madness and chaos that's going around us, there is one place that we can be protected, and there's one place that we can find solace, and there's one place that we can find peace, there's one place that we can find hope. That's in the secret place. And so we're going to look a little bit about this secret place tonight. Psalm chapter 91, the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're going to come back to that verse. And it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. This word is, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of night. And like I said, we're going to come back to the first four verses, so the rest of the verses are going to just talk a little bit about as we read through. And it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So if we're dwelling in the secret place, if we're closely communing with God, walking with God continually, we do not have to be afraid by the terror by night. Now, I want you to understand, there is some terrible things going around. There is, if someone would say there's nothing to be afraid of for individuals, I think they'd be wrong. It's us as believers that find our hope and trust. When God is our shield, God is our buckler, when God is our fortress, when God is our protection, we don't have to be afraid. This morning in the Sunday school class, one of the teachers gave the object lesson in the back, and they talked about different things that people are afraid of. One of the things were that people are afraid of snowmen. And I was like, that's crazy. And there's, if you looked up some different things people were afraid of, I think some of the ones, snowmen, men with beards, just some different interesting things, balloons, flushing toilets. You know, there's all types of crazy things that people are scared of today. The color orange. I don't like the color orange very much, but I'm not afraid of it. You know, there is a lot of different crazy things today that people are scared of. But there are things that we should be respecting. And then when you look at the things that are happening around the world, if we don't know God, you know what? We are going to be fearful. And those that know the Lord, if they're not dwelling in that secret place, they're going to have problems of anxiousness, worrisome, and fear. We don't have to be afraid, but many of us still let our fear and our worries dictate how we act and react to things. And not only does it say to terror by night, but also it talks about the arrow that flieth by day. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Same comparisons to things that are happening. There's terror at night. There is an arrow that flies by day. Somebody is trying to hurt you. The pestilence, the things that are trying to destroy us. The destruction that wasteth the noonday. And then there's a kind of a neat promise here. Now, we do not know who wrote this psalm. You go back and you study it, and many times the intelligent ones of the Jewish people would say, if it's not mentioned in the byline, whoever wrote the one before, the last one that was written, which you see chapter number 90 talks about Moses, would be something that would probably be the author here. Some people think it was David, talking about the pestilence that happened when he counted the people. But it says here in verses 7 and 8, it makes me think that that's something that similar to what Moses had written or talked about. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And what the scripture is saying was the nation of Israel, and it said if they would follow after the Lord, you know what? There's going to, one can cause 100 or 1,000 to flee. You know, it's amazing what you can do with God. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worrisome. But that's when we're living for him. That's when we're communing with him. That's when we're in that secret place. It says verse number 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I don't know about you, but I consider all the things that are going on, and you see all the craziness, and we know it affects us, but you see what's going on and what's happening right before our eyes, and we're thankful that we don't have to be afraid of it. You know, God's making us a promise that, hey, you don't have to be fearful, because at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, there's many that we can be protected from. Verse number 9, because thou hast made, and here's the reason, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Habitation means that you're habiting somewhere, you're staying somewhere. So that means that you have found the spot, and that's what they're referring to as the secret place, and you have made that your residency. I'm communing with God, I'm abiding with the Lord, and that's where I'm living at. You can find my address right there. I'm there with the Lord. He's my everything. He is the one that I'm communing with. He's the one I'm speaking to. He's the one I'm letting lead and direct. He's the one I'm walking with. It says verse number 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, when you're reading that, you might say, well, that kind of comes back to memory. Anybody, that comes from when the devil was tempting Jesus. Remember when the devil tried to tempt Jesus, what he would do is he would misquote scripture. And that's what he was doing here, was using that as a part there. And that's why many people think this is written about Jesus Christ. But also the application is sure and true for us today. It says in verse number 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the otter, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon thee, me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. I don't know about you, but that's special that God knows our name. And because of that, we know that he loves us. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I truly feel blessed. Lord, when we consider this passage of Scripture and the protection you can offer and the safety that we have when we dwell in that secret place. Lord, I know that this is not where many Christians dwell at today. Many of us miss the mark here. But Lord, I pray that tonight you would whet our appetites, that you would make us thirsty to draw closer to you, and that we would strive to become someone who actually dwells in the secret place. God help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go back to verses 1 through 4. And I don't know if I can do justice to the word secret place and help you understand it. For me, it's talking about a sweet communion we have with God. It's talking about a place where we have fellowship with one another. Now, what I think is interesting in this passage of Scripture, it uses the word he. It's talking about an individual. It's a choice. You dwell where you want to dwell. You spend time with what you want to spend time. You make what you want to important in your life. Word he. And then you get to that next word, he that dwelleth. Now, this is where I struggle at, and I think many believers struggle at, is we don't dwell there. We visit there. There's a difference between dwelling one place and visiting one place. We might go visit some type of place. I don't know. We went and visited Pensacola this past winter, and we went and visited there. Thankful I don't have to live there. I like where I live at. It was nice to be there. Nice place. Nice college. Nice this. Nice that. But we visited there. We stayed there for a little while. We didn't put up residency there. It wasn't our permanent residency. It's something I visited. And here they're saying that they dwell in this secret place. If you want all those protections that have been promised right there, if you want the peace that you can read in those passages of Scriptures when you understand all the issues, when the noisome pestilence, and when you see all the things coming at you, and you see what's happening, you see the reward of the wicked, but it's not bothering you, it's not overcoming you, it's not something that's harming you. If you want that type of protection, if you want to live in a world full of chaos and still feel protected, and trust in the Lord as your refuge, your buckler, your shield, whatever you want to call it in the Scriptures, you come to the point that you have to learn something. You have to learn how to dwell in the secret place, not just visit. And that's what many of us do. We spend some good time with the Lord. If many people would say an exceptional Christian is a person who takes time in the morning and spends quality time alone with God, and they commune with God, and they have a good time with God, they fellowship, they don't want to leave. Prayer is not a burden. Bible reading is not a burden. It's something that they are enjoying the fellowship, enjoying the time together, and it's something that they wish they did not have to leave. That's what people would say an exceptional Christian is. But what the Scripture is saying is that they don't leave that place of communion. They continue with that throughout the day. And I know it's no longer a private thing. No longer is it done individually. Instead, it's something that you go throughout your day. But that secret place is referring to a place where you abide and rest in Him. You walk with Him. It's not something, hey, I'm going to go visit God. I'm going to go visit the Holy of Holies. I'm going to go visit the mercy seat. I'm going to go make this my spot and here. No. This is something that I'm going to live under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to make Him my refuge. I'm going to make Him my dwelling place. He is my everything. That's when they're saying, you have that. See, I think that many believers have come to this realization that it's like, man, if I get to spend some good time alone with God, you know what? It's going to make me have a good day. And that is true. But it's more than that. He's supposed to be your everything, your preeminence. It's something that you don't just visit, you actually live there. Spurgeon had written this, and I thought it was interesting. And it says, concerning the phrase, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he says, the blessings here promised are not for all believers, but for those who live in close fellowship with God. Every child of God looks toward the inner sanctuary and the mercy seat, yet all do not dwell in the most holy place. They run to it at times. They enjoy the occasional approaches, but they do not habitually reside in the mysterious presence. those who through rich grace obtain unusual continuous communion with God, so as to abide in Christ and Christ in them, become possessors of rare and special benefits, which are missed by those who follow afar off, and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And to this secret place, those only come who know the love of God in Christ Jesus, and those only dwell there to whom were to live is Christ. To him the veil is rent, the mercy seat is revealed, and the covering cherubs are manifest, and the awful glory of the Most High God is apparent. And I like that. And it gave some different examples. It talks about how you get to be like a Simeon in the New Testament, the person that was led by God and directed by God, Anna the prophetess that never left the temple. Why would she never leave the temple? That would be ridiculous to sit there and give your whole life over in prayers and fastings. And that would be so much past many people's mindset. It's because she learned a secret. She learned a spot that there is a dwelling place. There is a place where we can find communion and fellowship and abiding in Christ and resting with God. That is the secret place. So today I'd like to look at these four verses and just kind of read through and explain it and look at some of the important words in them. And hopefully we can walk away just being more interested. You know what? I enjoy my time alone with God. I enjoy my fellowship with God when I read my Bible and pray. I want to know how to figure that out with my everyday life. I want to know how to, when I'm fellowshipping with him alone, and I feel like, hey, I'm communing with God, how I can take that with me. And not just visit the secret place, but actually dwell there, live there. Make that my address. Make it something to where I can commune with him throughout the day and just talk to him like he's right there with me, because he is. Now, maybe you're already there, and then you'll be excited at the fact that other people maybe find interest in that. But I say most Christians today would think it's exceptional to just read your Bible for 10 minutes, pray for 10 minutes, and that we feel like we've got a concept of who God is. Oh boy, there's so much more. Many of us just scratch the surface. And I think about the Simeon that was led by the Lord, that, and I think about the Annas, and I think about the Zacharias and Elizabeth, and I think about the characters in the Bible. You sit there and you look at them and you wonder, how did they get there? How did Joseph react like that? I know I'm not going to react like that. How did David get the cool title of man after God's own heart? How did Daniel really have peace in the middle of a lion's den? How in the world could he face what he faced in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 and still, you know, depend on the Lord? He found a secret out. He found something that was true and something that should whet our interest and desire. I want to live where they live at. And that's in that secret place. I don't want to just visit. I want to take the glory of God with me throughout the day. I want to fellowship with him, not just in the morning time. I want it to be something that day by day I walk with him, and I want to live in his presence. So let's jump here. Verse number one, he is a personal thing that dwelleth. And that word dwelleth, I think most of us understand, it means to sit down. It means to remain. It means to abide. It's sort of like when, you know, there's people that come visit your house, and you wish they would leave, but they stay. It's getting kind of late. Yeah, but isn't this wonderful? No, they stay. And they want you, and it's those house guests that just plan on staying. They're enjoying themselves so much, they just want to keep on staying there. And that's what he's saying, that dwelleth. Now, where is they dwelling at? In the secret place. And that secret place is talking about a place that is covered. It's a place that is available to be found, but it's a place that's private. Is a place that where you meet with God. And that's what I love about church. Church is a place where we come to meet God, and we come to hear the preaching of God. We come to hear the singing. We come to sing ourselves. It's a place where we can have a little bit of fellowship with one another. It's a place where you join to meet with God. But that's just a public worship. This is that secret place is referring to that time when we spend alone with God and we commune with him, but we're taking it with us. We're still residing in the presence of the Almighty. It's continually living in the presence of God. And it continues on here. It says, in the secret place of the Most High. And then it says, shall abide. That abide means to stay permanently. That means the intention there is to rest in him, not planning on going anywhere. We're together. And to abide, to tarry, to abide. And then look what it says, under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, and I like this, because the shadow gives a idea of the fact that God's there. I'm not very smart when it comes to science and things like that, but I think the only time you're ever going to see a shadow is when someone's casting it or something's casting it. And if you're abiding, which means tarrying and staying, that means you're staying under the shadow of the Almighty. That means God's there. That you're staying where God is. You're staying close to where he is. I know God says, I'm never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. I understand that. But it's the idea that I'm close to God. I've entered into the Holy of Holies. I want to get to God. I'm not going to let anything stop me, like blind Bartimaeus. He didn't let the people stop him. Like the woman that had touched the hem of his garment, she didn't let anybody stop him. He said, I have to get to God. I have to get to Jesus. And when they got there, they stayed. And that's the idea, that they're under the shadow of the Almighty. It gives the example that God is there. He's casting the shadow. I'm staying near. Where God is, that's where I want to be at. That's what I like about church. This is the place where he's supposed to meet at. I don't want to ever be a place where the church seems like it's dead, and the church where he's standing outside the door knocking to come in. I don't want to pastor a church like that. I don't want to go to a church like that. I will feel sorry for a church like that. You know, I don't want any part of that. The shadow of the Almighty. He's there. I'm staying near to him. Then here's the thing is, he says, I will. Once again, it's a personal choice, but he's in a sense bragging here. Because I am staying in the secret place, because I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. That refuge is talking about shelter. The fortress is his strong place. So he is who I am turning to in trouble. He is my shelter. He is my strong place. Now you say, of course he is. He's mine too. No. If you're staying in the shelter, in the secret place, you're not running to other things for protection. You're not running to other people for protection. He is becoming my refuge. He's becoming my shelter. Most people think of God as he is my last ditch effort. I'm going to try to find my shelter in my friends. I'm going to try to find my shelter in my family. I'm going to try to find my shelter in my resources or in my talents. No, what the person is dwelling in the secret place and walking with him saying, forget all those other things. There is one I can turn to, and he is my refuge. He is my strong place. He is my shelter. He's the one that's holding me and can keep me safe. So many of us, we will go and we will try everything else in the world. And when everything else in the world does not work, then we'll turn to God. A person who dwells in the secret place and communes with God and has a proper vision of who God is not going to be trying everything else. They're going to turn to God first, and when they turn to him, they're going to find he is the shelter and he is the refuge that we need, the fortress. And then you keep on going, and he says, my God in whom I will trust. I think it's kind of interesting here. There's four different names that are given to God here in these first two verses. He says he will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So here he's saying we're communing with him reverently because he's the Most High. There is no one that you can compare him to. He is, if there is a secret place of the Most High, that's where I want to be. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It means that they're resting in the Almighty. We can find rest in him because there's nothing he cannot do. Then he's saying, we will rejoice in the Lord. And the Lord there, you see all the capital letters, L-O-R-D, is referring to Jehovah. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is the God of the covenant. He is saying, I am going to rejoice in the fact that he's Lord. But then he's saying, we're trusting in my God. And that's referring to Elohim, talking about the mighty God that he is. It's amazing who God is. And if we will get to that secret place and just dig into what it means for him to be in the Most High, or we'll dig into what it means for him to be Lord and Jehovah, we'll dig into the fact what it means when it's saying that he's the Almighty or that he is the Elohim. If we will learn those truths, I tell you, we're going to want to stay there. But instead, we read those words and we just kind of pass by them and say, well, man, that's good. I'm glad God's going to protect me. But these verses are written to those that dwell there, that live there, that their lives personified by these facts. Verse number 3, I like this. It says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. when you dwell in the secret place, I believe God gives you wisdom. I love Proverbs chapter 3 when it talks about letting the Lord direct your paths. Lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's the people that are in the secret place. There are people that fall for so much. And you get the idea here in the verse number 3, deliver means to snatch out. You know, we're delivered from hell, we're pulled from where we're headed to. That word snare is referring to a net of the fowler. So what the picture is that there is someone out there that's trying to set a trap for you, trying to set a booby trap for you, something that's out there, and they're putting something out there, they're hiding something. Sort of like today we talked about the web of deception, we talked about the spider web, and they're laying a trap out there. God says, hey, it doesn't matter who lays these traps out for you. If you're dwelling in a secret place, you're going to be just fine. You want to know why? It's because he's going to give you direction. He's going to give you leadership. And he says, you're not going to be entangled by the enemy. When you dwell in the secret place, God will give you wisdom not to be tripped up. He'll give you wisdom not to be entangled. He'll give you what you need not to fall into the net of the fowler. He'll give you, even though the devil will go out there and he'll try to lay trap after trap after trap after trap, you're staying in the presence of God. You're living in that secret place. He's saying, hey, you don't have to worry about that. You'll be delivered from all those other things that are trying to trip you up. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? I don't know about you, but I get tripped up sometimes. Sometimes I step in the trap. Sometimes I get entangled up with the things of this world, and I don't want to do that. And it reminds me I'm not living in the secret place. Yes, I might have visited the secret place, but I need to dwell there. I need to be in his presence all the time. Miss Kathy, how'd you do that? That's okay. Mr. Jim's throwing things up there just to knock the that's a snare of the fowler. They're setting a trap up over there. That noisome pestilence is referring to a deadly type pestilence of an era. It's talking about even demonic type things. And when we dwell in communion with the God of truth, we're safe from those. I don't know about you, but like I said, there's a lot of traps out there. The devil's after people who are living for God. The devil is out there for people that are exceptional. The devil doesn't want anybody to stay in that secret place or dwell in that secret place because he knows that they're not going to fall for his tricks. They're not going to fall for the temptations that are there. They're going to be rendered useless. And you say, Pastor, who lives like that? The one who dwells in the secret place. And the one that who's trying to constantly abide. Always abiding in him. You get to John chapter 15, it talks about the grapes and the vines and the branches and the vine, and you see the combination there that they live there and they live together, and you draw from his strength and he helps produce fruit. It's a beautiful picture, and that's what they're saying here. That's what the secret place is. You're communing with him, you're abiding with him, you're producing fruit, and you're not going to fall for the tricks of the devil. How can we fall for the tricks of the devil so often? It's because we're not living in a secret place. We are living in the world, and we do have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Our residence is not here. Our residence is in heaven. But what the psalmist is saying here, whether it's David or Moses, is saying, I found the secret. When I dwell here in this place with God, I find such ultimate protection. And I think about it. You think about David. He saw Saul, you know, chasing after him, and never came nigh to him. Now, did he have problems? Yes, he did. Moses, dealing with those Israelites. Whoever wrote this psalm is someone under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, understood this truth. I need to commune with God. I need to dwell with him and allow him to lead me and guide me. Let's keep on going. Verse number 4 will be the last thing that we look at. And I like this verse too. It's kind of neat. He shall cover me with his feathers. Now, if this was a human that wrote this, you might say, well, that's blasphemy. that's covering me with his feathers, and under his wing shall thou trust, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. If we wrote that, or a human wrote that, some people would be like, oh, you're minimizing God. But no, God wrote this, and it's a picture here. I don't know if you've ever seen a video of a hen protecting their chicks. It's really cool. And maybe, and like if we had the projector working, who knows, we might have shown a little, because it's really neat how the hen can hide its chicks underneath its wings. And really, whether it's from someone who is trying to attack them, a prey, or it's because of the elements. So if I'm not telling you that everything on YouTube is good. Don't blame me if you see something bad on YouTube. But we post our videos on YouTube. But if you want to go home and look at how a hen protects its chicks, it gives a beautiful picture of how God's able to protect us when we're willing to hide ourselves. When we're in that secret place, he covers us with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. And there's little chicks. They're not afraid because they're under their mama's wings. Now, there could be an animal out there trying to attack them. I seen one about a hawk that kept on trying to get it, and the mom was there. I seen one that a cat tried to attack the chickens, the little chicks. That cat wasn't going to stay around very long. That chicken went right after that cat. And, you know, it's amazing that she was willing to protect and able to protect. How much more do we think God could protect us if we'll learn to hide ourselves in him? If we learn to dwell in that secret place, find out what that secret place is and stay there. And I'm not saying that we stay inside our house and always commune with him and never live out in the world. God didn't design us that way. He told us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But I think it's important that we not just visit the Holy of Holies, not just visit the secret place, but we continue to live there as we go out through the day. And then it goes, and that word we talked a little bit about was truth. He says, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And this is the thing that we hide behind, the truth of the word of God. The pastor doesn't seem like he's protecting us. It's not our job to protect ourselves. God's the one that's making these promises here. We stand up for the truth, and we allow God to protect us. We put ourselves underneath his care, underneath his wings. You know what's going to happen? His truth will be our shield and our buckler, the one that can protect us. The problem is many of us wander away from the truth. We leave ourselves wide open for the nets of the fowler, that noisome pestilence. We let those things affect us and change us to where not only do we not dwell in the secret place, we don't even get there. When's the last time you had some good quality time alone with God? I mean, when's the last time you looked up who God was and was impressed, the Holy Spirit impresses upon your heart that you have such a wonderful God that you should worship him and you should praise him and you should live for him? That you've looked, you've studied the Word of God, you understood the Word of God, and now you see and you made a decision, he's somebody that's worthy of all my praise, worthy of all my worship. You can get there. When you get to that spot, that's the secret place. It's the point is that as you walk away from that, you take it with you. So tonight, church, I want to encourage you, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Be close to him. He said, Pastor, I still don't understand the secret place altogether. You're not going to understand it until you're willing to spend some time there. And then let him lead and direct you. It's when he becomes the most important thing in your life. It's when he becomes the one that gives you direction and leadership in every decision you make. It's when you consciously live in his presence and you commune with him and say, Lord, how do you want me to react? Lord, what is it that you want me to say? Lord, how is it you want me to do? How is it that in every aspect of our life, he becomes someone we sweetly commune with. And he's God. He's able to do that. Most of us, if we're on a good day, we visit that. We get our encouragement and our strength from the Word of God. We draw from that. But then we leave it behind. Yes, we get some strength for the day. But we still make our own decisions. We still do things according to our plans. Still do things according to our wisdom. But them that dwell in the secret place are the ones that are going to commune there. And they're not going to get tripped up by the devil. They're going to be protected because they've hidden themselves under the wings of the Almighty. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you do the work that only you can do. Lord, I know how often I fall short. I thank for the Holy Spirit reminding me of the things that I need to strengthen myself in. Lord, this is one of those things. It seems like we're talking about some type of mysterious place, but God is something that's available for all those that believe. Lord, you've told us that if we draw nigh unto you, you'll draw nigh unto us. Lord, we've all experienced as believers you speaking to our hearts, whether it's the need for salvation and us turning to you, or whether it be a time of reflection, a time of changing something, a time of worship, a time of prayer.